Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
He is justifiably recognized now in Cooperstown because he loves his profession and he loves the sport he covers, and it's recognized. Tim Kirchen, from us to you, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Steve. That was a unforgettable weekend. It was overwhelming. It was overpowering. I still can't believe this has happened to me, but it was so good, and I'll never forget any second of the time I spent in Cooperstown.
My next 2 points are going to be about two legendary Dodgers, one in the booth and one that pitched. You wrote over, I was listening to your Brewers Red Sox broadcast, so I've got a, I was listening to your story about going over on the bus with Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax is somebody who doesn't like to talk about what he did as a pitcher and so forth. And you talked basketball with him because people don't realize that Sandy Koufax walked on at the University of Cincinnati as a basketball player. What was that experience for 15 minutes talking about something that Sandy Koufax wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I was a little surprised when he came up to me, and very elegant, regal-looking man, and said, "Can I sit next to you?" So I said, "Of course." And Sandy, I just didn't think he was in the mood for, you know, "Hey, you really had a great curveball, or you went 97 and 27 for the last 4 years." So I love basketball also. So I just figured I'm going to call an audible here and ask him about basketball, because I've talked to him plenty of times, but never about basketball. So I asked him if he still watches the game, and then he said yes. And I asked him if he could dunk it easily when he was in college. And he showed me his giant hands, which I've already seen before. Those giant hands allowed him to manipulate the baseball and throw that spectacular curveball. And then, and I knew he had long arms, but he showed me his arms, and he said, "I have a 37-inch sleeve here." And he said, "With these really long arms and these giant hands, I could palm a basketball and dunk a basketball easily, even though he was only 6 feet tall." So I can't even begin to tell you how fun that was to have a 15-minute conversation with Sandy Koufax about something that I think he really enjoyed, and I'm not sure he would have enjoyed a baseball conversation nearly as much.
How often did you go over that speech? Because it was brilliant. How often did you go over it?
I did it probably 200 times. I did it 200 times alone. I did it 200 times out loud, and I just had to make sure that no matter what, the words were going to come to me. Otherwise, that could have been a disaster. Now, I had the whole speech and my notes in front of me, but I made it an effort not to look down, and since I memorized it, having read it 200 times, practiced it 200 times, I actually got through it without falling over, and that's a victory, believe me.
It was worth it. It was outstanding. Vince Scully, in my part of the profession, I feel like he gave all of us in the profession a blueprint as to how to do it. And I always felt like he could take the ordinary and make it fun, and he could take the spectacular and put the exclamation point on it. What were your interactions like with him?
Well, I enjoyed every one of them, because I recognized and realized who I was talking to. He is the greatest baseball broadcaster of all time. He did it for 67 years. He's the greatest storyteller I've ever heard. His grasp of the English language is just breathtaking, and the way he presented things were just different than any other broadcaster that I've ever heard. He once said that he wanted to do a broadcast as if he was sitting in the stands, sitting in between a couple of Dodger fans, baseball fans, and, you know, he would be broadcasting the game, and the fans would be interested, but they would be interested in other things, the weather and food and travel and everything else. And that's what Vin was so amazingly good at, is that he could weave a story about something other than baseball into a baseball play-by-play. I've never seen anybody do it better than him. And that's why I think, you know, that connection with the fans, you start thinking about the greatest Dodgers of all time in some form or another, I think it's Jackie Robinson and Vin Scully and Sandy Koufax, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, that's a great list to start with, Tim. Also, did he ever give you any advice on the profession?
Well, when I was a really young baseball writer, 1982, I was a beat guy, and I met him, and he casually asked me, so, you know, tell me about yourself. So I told him quickly who I was, where I was from, and his advice was, as a young writer, I should try to write like I talk. And he said, if you do that, then you will be genuine and sincere. So try whatever you can to make sure that you write like you talk. And I've never forgotten that. And he sure didn't have to spend any time with me. I was about 25 years old at the time, and he took a few minutes to help me, and I'll never forget it.
And great advice, and you've lived it out. Tim, now the trade deadline. Yesterday was a lot of fun. The last couple of days have been a lot of fun. In the end, I'll start with the Phillies, since we'll take the local team first. Do you feel like the Phillies are a better team today than they were on Saturday?
Yes, absolutely. Noah Syndergaard was a great pickup. He hadn't had a great year. He doesn't throw as hard as he used to, but they didn't give up an enormous amount, and they added a quality starting pitcher who has pitched in the World Series before and is certainly not afraid of anything. And I think that was great. The way they upgraded their bullpen with David Robertson was important. Now they can mix and match at the end of a game with not just two, but maybe three guys now. They also upgraded their defense with Brandon Marsh and Edmundo Sosa, and they really needed to upgrade their defense. So I really like what they did. I like the way they've been playing lately, and now I like them even more. And I would say at this point, I think the Phillies are going to make the playoffs. Anything can happen. Things can change. But I like how they've been playing, and I really like what they did the last few days.
San Diego obviously did not just one, but they made a couple of huge deals along the way. Hader first, gave up a lot. And then the Sosa Bell deal. How good now can San Diego be, because at some point Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back?
Yeah, I think with Juan Soto and Josh Bell going to the Padres, they have gone from a team that I think would have made the playoffs to a team that I think can be dangerous, very dangerous, in October. Now, they're not the Dodgers. The Dodgers are better, I believe, than anyone. Dodgers have won 25 of their last 30 games. They won their 70th game last night. They are loaded, and they've got help coming with their pitching. But the Padres, once Tatis Jr. comes back, and they can go Tatis Jr., Soto, Manny Machado, and follow him up with a bunch of other guys, that lineup will get demonstrably better. It's a really good pitching staff, and Josh Hader gives them a weapon in the ninth inning that teams have. So I really like what the Padres did, but, you know, the Mets are really good in the National League. So are the Braves.
Yep.
Brewers
yep.
have great pitching. I told you the Dodgers are great. So this doesn't guarantee anything for the Padres, but it put them in the discussion in October as a team that can get to and win the World Series. And I'm not sure we could have said that 2 days ago.
When I look at the Yankees and the moves they've made over the last how many months, Connor Falefa, Donaldson, Trevino, now they add in Harrison Bader, who started his career here in State College, as a matter of fact. It feels like every single one of them, you know, they can hit. But it seemed like it was an upgrade defensively. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, you're right. The infield defense this year has been so much better than it was last year, which is one reason why they have pitched so well for most of this season. When a pitcher isn't sure if that ball is going to get caught, he's going to pitch differently. But when he knows, if I put the ball in the grass here, we're not only getting an out, we're getting two outs potentially. And now they've upgraded their outfield because Andrew Benintendi, who they got over a week ago, and Harrison Bader are both Gold Glove outfielders. So I love what the Yankees have done. I'm still not sure why they traded Jordan Montgomery. That's a bit of an iffy thing for me. But I like where they are right now because, A, they're really good. But you don't win in October with a bad defense or a subpar defense. And their defense is way better than it was last year.
I'll close out with this, and it's about the Orioles, who got the fan base down there excited about some of the young players, the progress they made, two games out of the wild card. How do you explain what they've done?
I don't think I can, Steve. That's the beauty of baseball. They finished 39 games out of fourth place last year. It's only the second team in history that's ever finished that far behind the next worst team in their league or division. And off of that, somehow, miraculously, they have gotten themselves into playoff contention. Now, their bullpen has been great. That's the biggest reason. Their starting pitching hasn't been great, but it's been much better than last year. And they can score some runs because they've got some pretty good offensive players in that on that team. And ever since Adley Rutschman showed up behind the plate, they've been a different team. Now, I'm not suggesting they're going to make the playoffs, but they've taken a major step forward to getting back into contention and being a representative club in the American League East. It's really impressive how they did it, and I repeat, it's hard to explain how they went from that bad to pretty good overnight.
Well, Tim, from us to you, congratulations. It's always great with someone who combines skill, which you have, with passion, and others end up recognizing it. From us to you, congratulations. It's so well deserved.
Well, thanks so much, Steve. I'll talk to you soon.
Tim Kirchen joining us from ESPN.